We're on your Dalam and Abay is the second line from the bottom. Fourth last word on the line where it says, Avil Asr v'taspoiras. Three cases that we mentioned on the previous daf. They are an Avil, someone who is now in a state of Avelus, of mourning, because a close relative has died. This brings on a whole set of halachas as part of his status of Avelus. We also mentioned the case called Menudeh. That means somebody who was put in nidoy, who was put in excommunication due to the fact that he was not complying with halacha in a very open way, or perhaps if he ignored a summons by Bezdin. Bezdin is empowered to put him in nidoy, in a state of excommunication. A third case we discussed is that of a mitzora. Of course, the Torah, Parshas Tezri and Mitzora, relates how due to certain averus, a person can develop a condition called tzara'as, and if the kohen confirms it's tzara'as, that brings on a whole set of halachas. But these three cases all have in common is that there is an element in mourning in all of them. Of course, in avil, someone who's actually mourning has laws that reflect that status that he's mourning. But the menuda and the mitzvah as well observe some customs that reflect that they too are mourning to some extent. So our daf today at length is going to discuss the particulars of which halachas the mitzvah and menuda do follow, like the avil, or don't. In other words, the givens will be what an avil does. The Gemara will introduce to us many of the laws of a mourner. Those will be stated as a given, and the question will be whether those laws apply also to the menuda and the mitzvah, which again too, to some extent, have laws of mourning. So let's begin. Gemara states as a fact that avil, someone who is in a state of mourning, lost a very close relative, so he now observes a mourning period. The primary halachas come in as soon as the patira happens, and then from the burial for the next 7 days for the shiva. So the halach of an avil, first of all, is that aser b'tasperis. He's prohibited, as we saw in last daf, from getting a haircut. What says, how do we know that's true? The answer is, midika amr lehu rachmana lebnei Aaron. We know this from the pasuk where the Torah instructs the sons of Aaron, Lazar and Isamar, following the death of their brothers Nadav and Avihu, so therefore they're in a state of avelus. Yet the Torah tells in Lazar Nisamar that Roshecham Al Tivro, you should not observe the regular laws of mourning. Your hair should not be left tifro, to grow wild, like not to cut the hair. You should get a haircut, meaning they were a special exception because they had to tend to the avoda. Of course, we can learn from here what the halacha is in a regular case. Echlal de kuli alma. Normally, this implies that the laws of avelus include that also there's a prohibition from getting a haircut. So that's given. The question is, continuing on Tezvav and Aleph, the Menudin, people who are excommunicated by the Bezdin, a Mitzorayin, someone became a Mitzorah, Mahin Mitzasparis. What is their halacha? Are they also prohibited from getting a haircut? The Gemara answers, we have a Brisa about this. It tells us the answer. Tashma, coming here from the words of the Brisa, it says, Menudin, Mitzorayin. Both of these people excommunicated or became mitzora, asurin l'saper, prohibited from cutting their hair. They cannot get a haircut, just like an avel. Ulechabes as well, they can't launder the clothing. So there's your answer. Now let's finish the brisa though. Menuda shemes, the brisa tells us what happens if somebody received a nidoy from the bezdin. He was excommunicated, he wouldn't listen to the bezdin, so they put him in nidoy, and then died before this issue could be resolved, before the nidoy ban could be removed. What happens in that case is something very severe. And the Mefarshim say we're talking about, it was like a very serious type of nidoy, where somebody openly espoused his heretical views, or just simply refused to obey the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan. It's a serious type of violation like that. If he died before this nidoy status was removed, then the following is the procedure. Besides the fact that we don't eulogize this person, the regular laws of mourning aren't observed. In addition, Bezdin Soklin Esarono. The Bezdin stones his coffin. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda explains, what does that mean? He says, first of all, it doesn't mean Lo Shiyamidu Alav Gala Vanim Kegala Shel Achan. They do not do it like the story in Yeshua involving Achan, would violated the pact that they had made not to take any of the spoils of Yericho. He ignored this, and he took some of the spoils. So he was therefore stoned to death by the Beis Din, and then they piled the galavanim, a whole pile of stones, on his grave. That's not what we do over here by someone who dies beneath, right? Dies still in the state of excommunication. Ella, Beis Din sholchin menichin evin gedol al arono. The Beis Din will send agents, and they'll place one large stone on his coffin. That's what's done for this, you know, heretic, somebody who seriously went against the halachas of the Rabbanan, was put into nidui excommunication and then died. L'lamedcha, this teaches us, shekolim misnadu meis b'niduyav. If someone dies still in a state of nidui, Beis Din soklin sarono, everybody should see this like severe consequence, this shame that we put on this person for going so far that he was put in nidui and it never got resolved and he died. This is what happens in that case. So more questions about the laws of a menuda and a mitzora of Velchai Betiv Zarosh. We know the halacha is one who's an avelis is required to do a tifa sarosh, which means to put a covering over his head all the way down to his lips, and that's what he wears while he's an avelis. We don't do this halacha anymore. This is not practiced nowadays, but originally this was part of avelis. How do we know this is part of it? Midikarmeli Rachman of the Yechezkel. So many of the laws of avelis are derived from this psukim in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel is instructed not to observe many of the laws of avelis. So those laws that the pasuk lists, Yechezkel did not do, even though he lost his wife, of course teach us what a regular avel does. So it says there, Shem tells Yechezkel, "Lo sate al safam," do not like cover up over the safam, over the lips. Meaning it's describing ativa sarosh, don't put something over yourself all the way until the lips, michlal, which implies that, you know, Yechezkel was an exception, but the kuli alma mechayvi, everyone else who's in avil, who's mourning, is required to do ativa sarosh. So now the question is, menuda, someone who was excommunicated, mahubi ativa sarosh, is he required to cover the head like an avil? The Gemara answers from Ebraisa, Rav Yosef, Tashma, come in here, this Ebraisa, which discusses the case that we learned in Tainus about when, let's say, there's a terrible drought. So then a series of communal fasts begins to beseech Hashem to bring the rain. And the Braisa tells us that after a whole series of those fasts, 13 of them, and still the rain hasn't come, the Talmidei Chachamim must conduct themselves. It says, Vehein misatvin, they should wrap themselves, v'yoshvin, and sit there, k'menudin u'ke'avelim. As if they're menudin, they're excommunicated, mekavelim in mourning, and they should continue that. Actually, Yirachem aleim in Hashemayim until Hashemayim has mercy on them and brings the rain. So, what does the Braisa say? It says that they wrap their heads. Why? Because they're menudin, because they're excommunicated. So, apparently, we see part of being excommunicated includes ativas arosh, covering the head. But the Gemara says not necessarily approved, because Amalei Abaye dilma menuda l'Hashemayim shayni. The level of excommunication that the Braisa describes is perhaps, is arguably, a whole different kind of a level of that. We're talking about there like a national calamity. The drought continues in spite of all the fasting, which indicates Hashem's displeasure with the people. So you could say the Chamer, that's a more severe kind of an excommunication. So maybe only that type, you cover the head. Not when you have like an individual who was excommunicated, maybe there's no covering the head there. The world leaves that question unresolved, and in most of these cases, if the question is unresolved, we're going to go lenient and assume that there is no halacha of, in this case, let's say, covering the head for an individual, a person excommunicated. Now the Gemara asks, what about Mitzora? Mahu Bativa Sarosh, does he cover the head? The Gemara answers from what seems to be basically a Beferish Pasuk in the Torah. Tashma come in here, the Torah says, by the Mitzora, V'al Safam Yateh, that he should cover himself up till the lips. So what does this expression mean? Mechlal shechai bativa zarosh. The meaning of the pasuk is that he covers the head all the way until the lips. So shema mina, clearly, by the mitzvah, this halacha does apply. He does do ativa zarosh. Next halacha to explore is, we know that avil asr laniach tefillin. And avil is prohibited from putting on the tefillin. The Gemara and Chof Aleph will discuss exactly the parameters for how long is that true that the Avil doesn't wear tefillin. What's the source for this law? It's midikamali rachman in the Yechezkel. So again, we go to Yechezkel, where Hashem tells him, Pe'ercha chavosh alacha, your pe'er, your glory, which is a reference to the tefillin, you should wear. So in other words, you're an exception. Even though you're an avel, you should wear the tefillin. So we can glean from that, mechlal dekuli al me'asir, but for regular mourners, they do not wear the tefillin while be'avelis. So that we know. The question is, benudah, someone who's excommunicated, magbe tefillin, does he not wear tefillin? Mar says, teku, we have no information about that immediately that we know of that can answer this question, so we don't know. So again, practically, he would wear the tefillin. Mitzara, magbe tefillin, what about by mitzara? Does he not wear the tefillin while he's a mitzara? So the Gemara answers from a Braisa Tashma. Come in here, the Braisa says, regarding the word in the Pasuk of Vechatzarua, it says the person with Tzaras, it seems extra. So the answer is, the Torah is coming to teach, L'Rabbos Kohen Gadol. Even the Kohen Gadol has to observe the laws of Tzaras, as we saw in yesterday's Dav. Pasuk continues with the words, Begadav Yu Ferumim. His Begadav should be Ferumim. So what does that mean? The Braisa explains, Shiyu Mekorayim. The Mitzara has to tear his begadim. He has to tear kriya like an avil does. Then the Pasuk says, V'roshe yeh farua. His head shall be farua. So what does this word farua mean? We have a machlokas tanaim. How to understand this term, and we're going to be using the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The first opinion explains, Ain't priya ele gidol sear. Priya means that he should let the hair grow. He should not take a haircut. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's according to Rabbi Eliezer, so that, according to this opinion, would not answer our question about tefillin. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva understands Yifrua differently. He explains, Nemra Havaya Berosh. Torah here is using a lashon of Havaya by the Rosh, as it's saying over here, Veroshu Yifarua. But Nemra Havaya Bebeged. It also applies a lashon of Havaya by the Beged, as it says, Begadav Yifarumim. So we compare these two phrases in order to clarify what these words over here, Veroshu Yihya Farua, means, and we say like this, Ma Havaya Hamura Bebeged. So just like the phrase by the Beged, clearly means Davar Shechutz Migufo. The Torah is telling us halacha about the clothing of the Mitzara, i.e. that he tears the clothing. So we're discussing there something that's external from the Mitzara himself, i.e. his clothing is torn. So we apply that to the Havaya, the Lashon of Yihyeh Farua, with regard to his head. We say that the term means here, Af Havaya Berosh, Davar Shechutz Migufo. This too is a halacha about something that's external from the Mitzara. And regarding this external thing, it should be Para. As we know from the Pasuk by Sota, it says, Ufara is Rosh HaIsha, that her head should be exposed. So with that usage, the Torah is saying that something external to the Mitzara by his head should be left off. So to what is the Torah referring? What should the Mitzara not have by his head? My love, a tefillin. It would seem the Torah is saying the Mitzara should not put on the tefillin. Should answer our question. But the Gemara says it's not necessarily the understanding. Amar Papa lo. You could say no. According to Bikiva, it's not saying the Mitzara doesn't wear the tefillin really. He wears the tefillin. Rather, what does it mean, para on the rosh, something external to himself should be left off to make the head exposed? It's saying, akumsa v'sudara, the hat or the turban that he normally wears is not worn since he's a mitzayra. That's really what it means. So again, the point is that possibly though the tefillin he does wear, so you can't conclude from this opinion of Rabbi Akiva. And this idea that the mitzayra would not wear the head covering, the hat or the turban, would be at odds with what we said above, that there's a din of atifas arosh, a din of putting something over the head until the lips on the mitzvah. So this apparently is a different opinion as regards that issue. Next halacha we explore is that avil aser b'she'el shalom. Halacha is, if someone's in avelis, he does not do she'el shalom. He doesn't greet other people. He doesn't give other people a shalom aleichem. How do we know? The common le'rachman and le'yechezkel. Again, we learn from Yechezkel. But in this case, this is a halacha of Avelis that did apply to Yechezkel, even though many of them we saw already did not apply. The following halacha Hashem told Yechezkel he should observe, being that he was an Avel, which was Heanig Dom. You should be Heanig, you should grieve, and Dom means be silent. Meaning don't talk as you regularly would, don't start greeting other people. So that's something that's appropriate when you're in a happy, regular mood, but you're in Avelis, you don't greet people while in Avelis. So the question is, what about Menuda Mahu B'She'el Shalom? Someone who's in Nidoy, who's excommunicated, is he permitted to do She'el Shalom to greet other people? So where tries to answer Rav Yosef Tashma, coming here from the Mishnah in Tainus, which discusses, again, in that case where there's a drought which persists, and we fasted so many times and there's still a drought. So the Mishnah tells us the halachas of how the people are supposed to act in this time of like national calamity. Says the Mishnah there, B'she'i l'shalom sh'bein adam l'chavero, should refrain from greeting each other. Why? And here's the key words, K'bnei adam and azufin l'makom, like people who have been rebuked by Hashem. So we see what's the appropriate manner of someone who has been rebuked. It's not to greet others. So too, this Menuda, who was excommunicated by the Beis Din, should seemingly also not greet other people. The Gemara says, just like we saw above, that possibly it's not a valid comparison, because Amale Abai Dilma Menuda L'Shamayim Shani. Maybe the case being discussed in Titus, where it's a national calamity, is different. The Chamer, that's a more severe problem. It affects the whole people. So you can't necessarily prove the halacha from there to an individual who was put in Nidoy. So now the question is, Mitzora, Mahu Mishael Shalom, what about the Mitzora? Is he permitted to greet other people? So the Gemara says, Tosh Malitz, learn the answer from a Braisa that says, the Pasuk says by the Mitzora, V'yalsafam Yateh. So we saw above, he covers himself up to the lips, but we're learning a further halacha from Safam, which implies, that word Safam implies as follows, Sheyusif Sosav Medubakos Zimizu. His lips should be sealed shut, should be closed. Shehe kemenuda ke'ovel, he should be like a menuda, someone excommunicated, like an ovel, that is, ve'aser b'she'e l'shalom, that he cannot greet others. Shema mina, so that's a clear inference, that's not debatable. The mitzvah definitely has the halacha, just like an ovel, he can't greet other people. Where it says, now once we have this language of this braisa, seems we can derive further from there, v'nishvet mina l'menuda. From the fact that the Braisa seems to say, let's read the words again. The Braisa said, "Sheyehev kemenuda keavel." The Mitzara is like a menuda, someone who's excommunicated and an avel. Ve'aser b'she'ei l'shalom. Seems the Braisa is saying, how is the Mitzara like the menuda in the sense that he can't greet other people? So it seems the assumption of the Braisa is that a menuda, someone in nida, excommunicated, also can't greet other people. So we can conclude that halacha too. But the Gemara says not necessarily, because the Gemara points out, Amar Vacha Bar Pinchas Mishmeid of Yosef Miketani She'aser. If the Braisa had said She'aser, then you'd be right, because then it would read the Mitzora is like the Menuda and like the Avel She'aser B'She'el Shalom, in that he can't greet other people. Then it would be indisputable that the Braisa is presuming that an excommunicated person cannot greet other people. It doesn't say She'aser. Says ve'aser, and he has this prohibition. The mitzvah cannot greet other people. That prefix, the vav, the end, can potentially be separating the word aser from the previous words, and therefore we could read it like this. The braisa begins that this mitzvah is sheyehe kemenuda ka'avel. Tani, those are the first words. The mitzvah is like these two people, the menuda and the avel. And you could say, what does that mean? Bemilia chanaisa, in other respects. Regarding other laws of a person excommunicated or an avel, the mitzvah is similar to them. And then the braisa begins a new clause, and it says, based on the above pasuk, there's an additional halacha that applies to the mitzvah. Ve'aser nami b'she'e l'shalom. Based on the above pasuk, the mitzvah has a halacha you can't greet other people. But according to this reading, the point is, the braisa is not saying here that the menuda has this particular halacha that you can't greet other people. Could be that that comparison is regarding other halachas, therefore there's no clear-cut proof from this braisa regarding the issue of whether a menuda, someone excommunicated, is mutter b'she'e l'shalom, that he can greet other people or not. The next halacha is that avel aser b'divrei Torah, and avel, someone mourning a close relative, is not allowed to learn Torah. How do we know? The fact that Hashem instructed Yechezkel that since you're in mourning, you have to be dumb, you have to be silent, meaning silent from the words of Torah. So clearly an Avo cannot learn Torah. The question is, Menuda mahu b'divrei Torah. Someone excommunicated, is he permitted to learn Torah? So the Gemara answers from a Braisa, Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, coming here. The Braisa says, Menuda, the halacha of someone who has been put in a state of nidoy, a certain level of excommunication, shone v'shonen lo. Nonetheless, he can teach others Torah, and others can teach him. So clearly from this line, we see that by menuda, there's no prohibition of learning Torah. So let's learn the whole braisa though. Further about this menuda, nischar v'nischar v'n lo. He can be hired by others, he can work for other people, and as well, other people can work for him. Just because he's a nidoy, that does not prohibit him from engaging in commerce with others, at least at this point in the nidoy stage. Now, but the Braisa says, if Mukhram, if it continued, I mean, he did not resolve the issue with Bezdin after two or some say three times, so then there's a more severe stage called Chayram. At that point, the halacha will be lo shonav, lo shonin lo. No one could interact with him in learning, in lo nischav, lo nischar lo, or in commerce, av lo shonav la atzma. But even someone in Chayram, the most severe level of being excommunicated, can still learn to himself. So they should not throw off his whole learning schedule. We don't say like you can't learn because you're in chayrim. Furthermore, we don't require that he like starve, that he have nothing to sustain himself. We allow him the minimal means to continue sustaining himself. That is, so you know, he can have a little small store open that will give him some kind of parnasa. Rav, and Rav specified. It refers, for example, to Zbuni Maya Bepakta de Aravas. He can sell water in the market by Aravas. And again, the point of quoting this braisa was the beginning part, which mentions very clearly that someone in Nidoy, even though he's in Nidoy, he could still learn Shema Mina. So clearly the answer is, even though an Avo can learn Torah, a Menuda, someone excommunicated, could learn Torah. So now the question is, Mitzara Ma'ubidivei Torah. Can the Mitzvah learn Torah? So the answer is from a Braisa, Tashma, coming here. The Braisa says, Braisa quotes a Pasuk which states, V'odatam l'vanecha v'livnei vanecha, you should make known to your children and their children, Yom asher amadata lifnei Hashem melekecha b'chorev, about the day you stood before Hashem your God at Chorev at Har Sinai, meaning. So the first Pasuk is mentioning, you know, being hodat l'vanecha v'livnei vanecha, meaning teaching your children the Torah. And then it mentions about the day he received the Torah by Har Sinai. Therefore, the Torah is trying to teach us as follows. Ma lehalan, just like the event of Matan Torah by Har Sinai. It was an incredibly awe-inspiring event. It was be'ema, be'yir, recess, zeya, with a dread and awe, trembling and fear. So too, the Torah must be taught for all generations with a feeling of a fear of trepidation and reverence. And therefore, we have the following halacha. Mikanam, from here they said, Rabbanan said that although Azavin met Soroyin Voboali Nidos, people became Tame for different reasons, either Azav, someone came out of his body, or Mitzora, or even Boali Nidos, someone who had relations with a Nida, which makes him Tame. In spite of all these people's Tumma status, Mutaran, Lekrois, Betara, Banavim, Vaksuvim, they can learn any Pasig in Tanakh, Velishnois, Bemedrash, Shas, Halachas, Agadas. Can learn any area of the Torah because they might be Tameh, but that's not a contradiction to this requirement of approaching the Torah with a great seriousness and a reverence. But the halacha is the Balikarian, someone who becomes a Balikarian is a seminal discharge, which is something that usually happens as a result of not being serious, being in a state of Kalis Rosh, engaging in lustful thoughts, etc. So they, Asurin, they cannot study the Torah while they have the Tum of Balkari on them because the nature of that Tameh has to do with the lack of the level of seriousness with which one must approach the study of the Torah. So clearly though, from the beginning of the Braisa, we see that if someone's a Mitzvah, even though he's a Mitzvah and that has many laws that go on him, but he is permitted to study the Torah, Shema Mina, so we see that the Halacha, the Mitzvah has no prohibition of learning Torah. So something that exclusively applies to an Avel. Next halacha is Avel Aser B'Tichbo says, Avel, someone who's mourning, is not allowed to do laundry. So this halacha we're going to learn from the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which talks about the whole event of David HaMelech, who exiled his son Avshalom because he had killed Amnon, who had lived with his sister Tamar. The Pasuk tells us there how David's general Yoav wanted to make shalom between David and his son Avshalom. In order to achieve this, he he sent this Isha Chachama, this wise woman, would be able to convince David that she was mourning and to create a scenario which was similar to the situation that David was putting his son Avshalom in, and thereby cause David to hopefully have pity on Avshalom and to reconcile with him. So it says there, Yoav gave this woman specific instructions to convince David HaMelech that she was in Avelis, to pretend that she was mourning. So from the instructions that Yoav gives, we can see how a mourner is supposed to behave. We can learn the halachas of a mourner from there. It says there, Vayishlach Yoav to Koa, sent to this place to Koa, Vayikach Misham Isha Chachama, he got this wise woman from there, Vayomrei Leha. And he instructed her, Ishabli na, velivshi na, bigde eval. Please, like, pretend like you're mourning, and you should don the clothing of a mourner. And those are the key words for us. We see the mourner tends to wear a certain kind of clothing. And he continues, Ve'alta suchi shemen, don't anoint with oil, vayis ki isha ze yam rabim sabelis almeis, pretend somebody who has been mourning for a long time for a deceased person. So again, we see that a mourner wears a certain kind of clothing, meaning his clothing is not so clean, for the avel does not do laundry, doesn't clean his clothes while he's be'avelis. So that halacha we know, the question is, menudin mitzorayin, the other two cases, somebody excommunicated or mitzorah, mahin mitechboses, are they prohibited from laundering their clothing? The Gemara answers from a farish abraisa, tashma. Come here, the Brisa says, Menudin mitzorayin, asur in the saper. So we saw this Brisa above. It says they can't take a haircut, and ulechabes, they can't do laundry either. Shema mina. So clearly, the aval, menudin mitzara are the same with regard to the halacha of laundering the clothing in addition to the haircuts. All three of them are prohibited from these two halachas. Next, halacha is aval chai bekriya. An aval is an obligation to tear his clothes to express his mourning. We see this is the halacha for the fact that the Torah says to Lozan Isamar, who had just lost their brothers, Nadav and Avihu, says the Torah, Loisif Raimu, you should not tear your clothes. So we can derive from that, normally, a person normally who is mourning does tear the clothing. There's the obligation of Kriya to tear his clothes. The question is, if someone is excommunicated, is he required to tear the clothing? Or it says, Teku, we have no information about that immediately. So this question is not resolved. Mitzara, Mahu Mikriya, so what about Bai Mitzara? Does he have to tear his clothes? The more answers from the Pasuk. Tashma coming here, the Torah says, by the Mitzara, that Begada Vihiyu Firumim, his clothing shall be Firumim. What does that mean? Shiyumi Kairai, and he tears the clothes from Amina. So it's clear from the Torah itself, and a mitzvah indeed has a requirement of kriya, just like an avil does. The next halacha is that avil chayiv b'kfiya samita. There's a halacha that an avil, someone who is mourning, has to turn over the bed so that, like, the legs of the bed are facing up. This is another halacha that's not practiced any longer today. But the Gemara tells us the source for this halacha, the Tani bar Kapara. The Kapara teaches a brisa which explains this halacha, turning over to Amud Beis. Concept behind turning over the bed if somebody comes in avil is Hashem says to the person, Demus the Yokanina Sati Bahen, I gave you, like, I created you in my image. Man was of course created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. Va'avonoseim Efachtia, a person dies. What that reflects is the fact that mankind does sins. As a result of their sins, they're mortal and they die. And upon death, there's no greater way of overturning the Tzelem Elokim if the person is no longer alive. So it's therefore appropriate to express the mourning over this event by Kfumi Tosein Hashem says, turn over your beds, which will remind you that a precious Tzelem Elokim has been overturned in his or her death. Now, Menuda Mitzara, the question is, what about the other two cases? Mahin B'Kviyas Hamita, there's a Menuda or Mitzara, do they keep this halacha? When it says Teku, don't have an answer for that question. The next halacha is Avil Asr Basiyas Malacha. So when he's Bavelis, he can't go to work. How do we know? From the Pasuk in Amos, which says, Nechsiv Afachti Chageichem Le'eval. I will make, Hashem says, I'll make your Chageichem, your Chag, your festival, into Avelis, into mourning. So from this, we can learn a comparison. Machag asr b'malacha. Just like on Yom Tov, it's a time where it's asr b'malacha. Avil asr b'malacha, and avil too cannot go to work. So the question now is, benuda mahu basis malacha. Someone has been put in nidoy by Bezdin, is he allowed to go to work? The Gemara answers, Amr of Yosef Tashma, come and learn from the Braisa. Says, Kesha Amru Asr Basias Melacha, regarding the halacha that if there's a tiny tzibur, so once again there's a drought, so we have a big public fast, so at a certain point when it gets more intense, there will be an Isr Melacha, people don't go to work. So the Braisa explains there though, Lo Amru Ela Biyom, that halacha only applies like the actual day of the fast, of a Belayla Mutter, the night before. We don't say there's any prohibition of working. The prohibition has not begun the night before the communal fast. And this is certainly not the only halacha that this braisa mentions with regard to how the people conduct themselves by such a communal fast. But this is one of the halachas it mentions about the Isra Malacha. And later in the braisa, it concludes, like it compares, Mechina Tamotze b'menuda b'avel. Similarly, this is the halacha by a menuda, someone who is excommunicated, and by an aval, someone who is mourning. So the Gemara says, "My lama kulo," isn't this statement that, like this parallel from the communal fast to the menuda, someone excommunicated, seemingly that's referring to all the halachas mentioned in the Braisa, including the halacha of the prohibition to go to work. So we see then that a menuda doesn't go to work either. The Gemara says, "Nope, not necessarily." Lo, you could say, no, really, Ashara, read the Braisa, that this parallel it draws from the laws of a communal fast to a menuda, someone excommunicated, is referring to other halachas, like, let's say, covering the head with the covering. Only with respect to that they're compared, but not perhaps regarding the prohibition of going to work. Now the Gemara does answer the question from a different Braisa, a Braisa we saw earlier above. Tashma coming here, the Braisa had said, Menuda shona vishona lo. The menuda could still interact with others in learning, and nischar v'nischar in lo, and you could hire him, or you can hire others. So shma mina. Clearly, this statement is saying that he can continue working even though he's in nido in excommunication. Now the Gemara wonders, what about mitzora? Mahu esis melacha? Is there an issur of him working while he's a mitzora? Teku. We don't have an answer right now for that question. Next halacha is Aval Asr Berchitza. Another halacha of a mourner is that he cannot bathe. How do we know? Chsiv, from the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, again, that's where Yoav was giving instructions how this woman should pretend that she's mourning. So one of the details mentioned was, Al Tasuchi Shem, you shouldn't anoint yourself with oil. Anointing with oil is not bathing. The Gemara says, halachically, they're the same thing. Rechitza Bechlal Sicha. The idea of anointing yourself in oil and bathing yourself are synonymous in halacha. So if she was instructed not to anoint in oil, we can presume that includes also not to bathe. So therefore we know the halacha by an aval is you shouldn't bathe. The question is, menuda mahu berchitza? What about somebody excommunicated? Can he bathe? The Gemara answers, Amr of Yosef Toshma, coming here the following braisa, says, Kisha amru asr berchitza. Regarding, again, tainis tzibur, you have a communal fast, let's say there's a drought. So when Chazal said, the halacha is, you cannot bathe, no one's allowed to bathe during this time, lo amru ala kol gufo, it only means bathing the entire body, of upon of yadav raglov, what they're about to do, just the face, or hands, or feet, individually, that would be permitted. Chayin atamotz, and then it says, and similarly, these halachas apply to menuda, avel to menuda, also someone excommunicated. So my lava kulu. So again, the Gemara starts with the assumption that the comparison is with regard to all the halachas mentioned there, including the prohibition of bathing. So we see someone menuda, someone excommunicated, cannot bathe. The Gemara says, lo, I'll tell you now, Ashara, that it's not making the comparison regarding all the halachas, just the other ones there. Therefore, you can't prove from that braisa. So that's unresolved. The Gemara now asks, what about mitzara? Mahu berchitza? Can a mitzara bathe? And the Gemara says, Teku, we don't have an answer to that question either. The next halacha is, Avil asr bin ilas a sandal, and Avil may not wear shoes, meaning leather shoes. How do we know an Avil can't wear leather shoes? We do commonly Rachman on Yechezkel because Hashem said to Yechezkel that you, Nalecha Tasim Raglacha, you should wear the shoes. Mechlal, the Kulyamas, again, Yechezkel was an exception. So everyone else who's a mourner cannot wear the shoes. Question is, Menudema Benil Sasan, the one about by someone who has been excommunicated. Gemara answers, Amar of Yosef Tashma, come in here from the same Braisa, from Tainis, which says also there, Kesha Amru Asr Benilas Asandal. Another halacha that applies during a communal fast is that no one can wear leather shoes. Says the Braisa there, Lo Amru Ela Be'ir, you should know this is only while you're like in the city, Aval Bederach, if you're traveling, Mutter, then there's no prohibition of wearing the leather shoes. You need to put shoes on your feet to travel. Ha-ketzad, so practically, how does one go about this? If he needs to travel during this time, the communal fast, this could apply, let's say, Tisha B'av, Yom Kippur. Yatzal le-derech, no, while he's traveling on the road, he doesn't want his feet to get hurt, so he could put on his regular shoes. Echnas le-ir, chalitz. When he gets to the city, he doesn't need the shoes anymore, then he should remove them. Chein atamotze. Again, it says those words over there, concludes in the Braisa, and these halachas also apply b'menuda be'avel to a menuda or an avel, even to someone who is excommunicated. So my lavakulo, we assume that it's comparing regarding all the halachas. So you see, a menuda also can't wear the shoes. And what says lo tayna ashara? It's not comparing them regarding all the halachas. It's not comparing them regarding wearing the shoes. So you can't see from that brisa. The Gemara asks, what about by mitzara? Ma'umini ilas a sandal. May a mitzara wear leather shoes? Or says teku, we don't have an answer to that question. The next halacha is avel asur b'tashmi shamita. So in mourning cannot have marital relations. How do we know? Nechsev the pasuk Shmuel Beis, which mentions how the baby that David HaMelech and Bathsheba had died, Bathsheba therefore was plunged into a state of mourning. Pasuk then relates vayinachem David es Bathsheba ishto vayavoyla. After the 7 days of the mourning, David HaMelech comforted his wife, and Vayavo Aleha in relations with her. So in this language it implies, Mechlal de Meikara Aser, implies that during the state of Shiva, there was a prohibition of having relations. So we know this is the halacha by some in mourning. The question is, Menude Mahu B'tashu Shamita. This is halacha, a prohibition of marital relations apply to someone who has been excommunicated by Beis Din. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Tashma. Come in here, the following point that should answer this question. Rav Yosef observes, Kol Osen Shanim, Shehu Yisrael Bamidbar, all those years that Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, Menudin Hayu, they are in a status of Nidoi, they are to a certain degree excommunicated from Hashem. Meaning to say that, of course, the Chet of the Meraglim occurred, they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, and then the Chet of the Meraglim occurred, the people did not trust in Hashem, and of course, the consequence was that entire generation were to wander the Midbar and die out there, and it would be the next generation should enter into Eretz Yisrael. And a perhaps lesser known part of this whole period was that Bnei Yisrael's overall connection with Hashem was lowered. Meaning that the way Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu was not in the same clear, intimate way that it had been before the Chet HaMeraglim occurred. So that therefore, Yosef says, means they were in a state of nidoi. They were like rejected, excommunicated to some degree from Hashem. And yet the plain fact is, Vishim Shemut Hosein, Yisrael did engage in marital relations throughout this period. As the population continued to grow during this time, so obviously they still had marital relations. So therefore, Yosef concludes, you see that the fact that you're in a state of nidoi, being excommunicated, does not include a prohibition on marital relations. But the Gemara says, not necessarily a proof. Maybe that type of menuda that you're referring to that applied to the whole people because they were rejected by Hashem, the kill, maybe that's different. That's not as severe as a situation where somebody got himself into a circumstance where he was ignoring Beis Din so much that they put him in nidoi. Maybe there is a prohibition for marital relations. Where it says, but it seems we're being inconsistent over here with how the logic should go with this distinction. Kill, you're telling me that an excommunication from Shemayim is less severe Ha'amar Tchamir. But above, of course, we made the argument and we were trying to compare the individual is excommunicated to the situation of the communal fast, which is like a communal excommunication where it says the Talmidei Chachamim wrap their heads in a state of mourning. And we said you can't apply from there to that individual excommunicated should also put the head covering on, because maybe the national excommunication is more severe, not less severe. And now we're saying the reverse argument. We're saying by national excommunication, like the Bnei Yisrael, the Midbar, Tashmish Shamita was permitted, but maybe it's more severe by an individual who's been excommunicated, so we're not being consistent over here. The Gemara simply answers that you're right, we don't have an assertive opinion one way or the other. Sfugi Misafkale, we're in doubt. We're not sure how the argument should go. And the result of that will be that you're not going to be able to draw a proof in either direction. You try to go in this direction to try to prove a stringency from national to individual excommunication. I'll tell you not. It's only by national that's more severe. And then if you're going to try to prove a leniency, that the halacha doesn't apply by national, so we should be lenient too by individual, I'll say no, maybe we're only lenient by national, because maybe we make the argument in the other direction, so you can't prove it that way either. When I continues, what about Mitzorah, Mahu Bintashra Shemitah? Someone who is a Mitzorah, is he permitted to have marital relations? The Gemara is able to answer this question, Toshma. Let's hear about the following Brisa. The Tanya of the Brisa says, the Pasuk says, by the Mitzorah, V'yoshev michutz le'ohalo. He has to live outside of his ohal, of his tent, for the 7 days. Brisa explains, the Torah is teaching us, Sheyehei ke'menuda uke'avel. The Mitzorah is like the Menuda and like the Avel, in that the Asr B'tashra Shamita is prohibited from marital relations. And this is explained by understanding the word Ahalo here as V'in Ahalo El Ishta. The word tent refers to his wife. He has to live outside of the Ohal, meaning not be with his wife during this time. Shenemar, and we find this usage regarding by Har Sinai, the Torah says, after the Torah had been given, after Matan Torah Lech Emor Lahem Shuvu Lachem Le'Aleichem, now you can go back to your tents, because they had separated in preparation for Har Sinai. After that event was done, now they could go back to their tents, they could resume marital relations, in other words. So Shema Amina, from this we see clearly that the Mitzorah is prohibited from marital relations. The Gemara tries, like as above, that from this language that says that the Torah here is telling us to compare the Mitzorah to the Menuda and the Avel. So then why can we use that to prove another point here? V'nifsha nami the Menuda, that should answer our above question, that the Menuda too, someone excommunicated, can't have marital relations. Doesn't the language of this Brisa bear that out? The Gemara says, same as above, not necessarily. Because we can read it like this, Amar Rav Huna Breider of Pinchas Mishmeider of Yosef, he points out once again, the Miketani She'aser. If it said She'aser, you'd be right. If it said that the Mitzorah is like the Menuda and the Aval, She'aser B'tashra Shemitah, in that he can't have marital relations, so then it would be indisputable that it's saying that such halach exists by the Menuda. But it doesn't say She'aser. She'ei ke'menuda ke'avel, rather, it just begins that the Mitzorah is like the Menuda and the Aval. So perhaps that part of it means Mimilia Chronaisa with regard to other halachas. And then it continues that based on this pasuk of Yosha Mechutz the Ahalo, V'asr Nami B'tashra Shemita, the Mitzorah can have marital relations, but according to this, the Brisa is not indicating anything about whether the Menuda could have marital relations, so there's no proof from this Brisa about that. The next halacha is that Avil Eina Mishalech Karben Osav, someone who is mourning a close relative, cannot even send a carbon to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. He certainly can't bring a carbon, he can't even send the carbon to be brought for him. So the first thing to address is, how do we know that? The Tanya, we know from the Brisa, where Reb Shimon says, one of the carbonas you could bring is called a shlamim, carbon shlamim. So he focuses on that name, the shlamim, and derives from that, the shlamim can only be brought bizman shehu shalim. Can only bring this carbon or any carbon when the person is shalem. He is whole and complete in terms of his state of mind. V'lob is man she'onet. And not if he's an onet, some mourning the death of a close relative. So an Avil cannot bring karbanos or even send his karbanos, but question is, Minuda Mahushi Shal Karbanosav. What about if someone has been excommunicated? Can he send an animal to be brought as a carbon? So we have the observation of Rav Yosef, similar to above, to try to answer this question. Rav Yosef Tashma, come and think of it like this. Kolos and Shanim Shah Yisrael Midbar. All the years of Bnei Yisrael were wandering in the Midbar. So as we said above, Menudin Hayu, they were like excommunicated by Hashem for cause of the Chet of the Meraglim. They didn't have that same relationship with Hashem. And yet, of course, Vishulchol Karbanai Sein, they brought Karbanos throughout the time of the Midbar. We had the Mishkan then, where they brought plenty of karbanos. So we see, being in a state of being menuda does not exclude you from sending your karbanos. And the Gemara deflects in the same way as above by saying, "Amalei Abayi v'dilma menuda l'shamayim shiny dekil." Maybe it's not as severe when you have this national, you know, everyone's excommunicated to some degree. It's not the same relationship with Hashem, but you don't have somebody who blatantly is violating the halacha or blatantly doesn't listen to a summons by the Beis Din. So perhaps that's worse, and perhaps there he's disqualified from bringing or sending korbanos. Where again objects, like above, kill v'amar chamer, you're being inconsistent. I thought you made the argument the other way. Where says, that's fine, because the argument could go both ways. We're not sure which is the right way. Therefore, the bottom line is, you can't bring a proof either way. Spooky misophically, we're not sure which argument is correct. Therefore, matchile, you can deflect the proof in either direction. So we don't have a conclusion about that issue about Imenuda sending karbanos. Now the question is, Mitzora Maushi Shalach Karbanesav, can the Mitzora send the karban? So the Gemara answers from a discussion between Tanaim about a passage in Yecheskel where we have instructions for the Kohanim regarding the halachas, should they become Tamei, how they purify themselves to begin the Avoda again. So let's see the proof. Tashma, come in here, the Tanya, the Brisa says, the pasuk in Yechezkel says, "V'acharei taharoso," after the kohen becomes tahar again from him, become tameh, so then he may do the avoda. So the Brisa explains each phrase. Achar prishaso min hameis. What's after? After what does he purify himself to do the avoda again? The answer is, he had become tameh from a mace, from a human corpse. So then you have to go through the whole 7-day tahara process. Then the pasuk continues, Shivas Yamim Yisperu Lo. They count the 7 days, like an additional 7 days for him. So what are these additional 7 days? Explains the Brisa, Elu Shivas Yamei Sefiro. These are the 7 days that have to be counted for a mitzora to become tahar. So this kohen has two problems. He became tame from a human corpse, and he was a mitzora. So he has to address those two problems before he can do the avoda again. And the pasuk continues there, V'yom boyo ala kodesh, when he comes back to the kodesh, like to the base of Mikdash, ala chatzar apnimis, to the inner chatzar, the shareis ba'kodesh, to serve again in the base of Mikdash, yakriv chataso, he brings his chatas. So what is this chatas that the kohen brings? So continuing on to Zayin Amud Aleph, this opinion, Rav Yehuda here explains that this is actually a whole new discussion in the pasuk. We're not talking anymore about if he became Tameh, now he's Tahar again. We're discussing a halacha of Zuasiris Ha'efa Shiloh. We're talking about the special Mincha, tenth of an Efa, Mincha offering brought by a kohen when he newly becomes a kohen, his inaugural offering. That's what the pasuk alludes to there. Divrei Rav Yehuda, that's according to Rav Yehuda. So none of this so far can answer our question. But a mitzora bringing karbanos, Rav Shimon Omer. Shimon understands the pasuk here like this: V'yom bo'o yakriv. He like looks at the phrase V'yom bo when he comes, and then it says yakriv. Then he should bring the carbon. He says the pasuk here is telling us a rule, which is b'zman sheroy libia, when you have a kohen who is qualified to enter the Beis HaMikdash because he's not tami or anything, then roy lakrava, then he is able to have karbanos brought for him, whether he's doing it or somebody else. Bizman she'ena roi libia. But if he's not in a state where he could enter the Beis HaMikdash because he's tamei, let's say, in a roi la krova, and he can't bring a carbon at all, even to send one in, so that would include a mitzora. Mitzora certainly cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash. He's also severely tamei. So according to this rule that Yecheskel is teaching us, He can't send the carbon to be brought for himself either. So the answer to our question is, a Mitzora cannot send a carbon into the Beis HaMikdash to be brought while he's a Mitzora.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD1. That's 855-275-7231.